we enter into this time of prayer, I want to point out the candles up here at the front. You can see a number of them are already lit. At any time during the service, please feel free to come up, light a candle in memory of a loved one or a saint in your life, in their remembrance, so that we fill this room with their light. Please join me in a spirit of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today remembering the saints in our lives. We remember those who are struggling with pain and struggles. Please let those prayers go with them, knowing that they are surrounded by your Son's love. We live in a world where we can't control nature, others' actions, disasters, both natural and man-made. We face them, and we ask why. And we always come back to you. Our leaders of industry, in government, in the church, of families, please guide them. Help them to understand that all that they do should reflect your will and the love of Christ. There are those here today who are struggling, who are suffering from physical, emotional, or spiritual gaps. And there are also those who are celebrating with joy. All of these things are because of you. And as we take some time to reflect and pray silently, please hear our words. The disciples struggled as well when it came to prayer. They approached Jesus and they said to him, "Teacher, how should we pray?" And Jesus responded, "Pray as this: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen."
Bruce Stark is our liturgist, and he's going to read for us a section from God's Word. It will come from the 12th chapter of Hebrews, various verses. The 12th chapter begins with the word "therefore," and it cannot be read without the prior context. And so I just would like to introduce that, and there's going to be a little help on the screen. The 11th chapter is called the faith chapter. It begins with the words, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." And then that unknown author went through a litany of names like Abraham and Sarah. He spoke of Enoch. He spoke of others. He acknowledged their faith and said they all died in faith without receiving what was promised. And then begins the 12th chapter. John Wesley wrote in his journal on November 1st, 1748, "Being All Saints' Day, we had a solemn assembly at the chapel, as I cannot but observe we have had on this very day for several years. Surely, right dearly, in the eyes of the Lord, is the death of his saints."
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Strive for peace with all men, and for the holiness without which no one will see the Lord. But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to a judge who is God of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks more graciously than the blood of Abel. This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thank you, Bruce. My name is John Park, and I'm on the staff here part-time at Brighton First, and I'm having a ball. It is a delight to work with you people, to work with Pastor Sherry, Deacon Loretta. God is good, and God is good all the time, and this morning is part of that. Will you pray with me? Almighty God, you have knit together your elect in one communion and fellowship in the mystical body of your Son, Christ our Lord. Now give us grace so to follow your blessed saints and all virtuous and godly living, that we may come to those ineffable joys that you have prepared for those who truly love you, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns as one God in glory, everlasting. When the great rabbi Israel Baal Shem Tov saw misfortune threatening his people, the Jews, it was his custom in that day that he would go into a certain place in the forest. He would go to meditate. And when he was in the forest, he would light a fire. And when the fire was going, he would say a prayer. And the miracle would be accomplished. The misfortune would be averted. Later, when the Baal Shem Tov's disciple, the celebrated Magrid of Mezrich, had occasion for the same reason to intercede with heaven, he would go to that same place in the forest. He would say, Master of the universe, listen, I do not know how to light the fire, but I'm still able to speak the prayer. And again, the miracle would be accomplished. And still later, Rabbi Moshe Leib of Sasov, in turn a disciple of both the rabbis, in order to save his people, once more would go into the forest. And there he would say, I do not know how to light the fire. I do not remember the prayer. But I know this place, and it must be sufficient. And it was, and the miracle was accomplished. And then it fell to Rabbi Israel of Rizin, the great grandson of the Magid of Mezrich. It fell to him to overcome misfortune. And sitting in his armchair with his head In his hands, he would call out. He would plead out, speaking to God, I'm unable to light the fire. I don't know the prayer. I can't even find the place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story. And it must be sufficient. And it was sufficient. God made man because he loves stories. So wrote Elie Wiesel in his book, The Gates of the Forest. All that I've said before comes from him. The words are his, but the experience of that story is mine. You see, I can this morning see those four rabbis. I can this morning see Abel and Enoch and Noah, Abraham and Sarah, and all of those who are mentioned as people of faith in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. All of these died in faith, not having received what was promised. Therefore, surrounded as we are by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race that is set before us. I can see them all, and I can see more. All those people are part of that great cloud of witnesses that surround us. But so are others. In fact, so are we. Saints, when it was used in the New Testament, was the term for all of the Christians, not just a special group. And saints was always plural. My friend, we are the saints today. From the late 300s, from the early days of the official church, All Saints' Day has been celebrated with a sense that the church consists not only for the living believers, but also all who have gone before us. We are surrounded and we are encouraged. All Saints' Day is a time to remember the saints, a time to give thanks, a time to bless the Lord for those people who have blessed us. The saints of God. Now, for the old saints, I mean people like St. Francis, who I like very much, never knew the guy. For the old saints, it's easy for me to speak of them. I bring emotion when I recall their stories, but I didn't know them. But for newer saints, saints like those who have their names listed in the bulletin insert before you, and others. For the newer saints, those who've died more recently, we're caught up, each of us in our own way, in the human process of grief. And in our society of polite company, we are allowed to grieve openly only so long, and then that window closes. People don't want to hear. Now, I agree very much with what Bernie Corrigan, my friend, said to me. I said, Bernie, nice to see you. He said, it's better to be seen than viewed. I said, Bernie, I'm going to use that. But that's what we're recognizing on All Saints' Day. Friends, if you and I haven't died yet, we will. And recognizing that All Saints' Day is a time to remember the names and to tell the stories again. We add names, each of us, to what is already printed in the bulletin. Perhaps you weren't here. Perhaps you're visiting with us, didn't have a chance. Speak the name of a saint you remember in your heart now. On All Saints' Day, we remember the saints, the famous and the obscure, everyone who is part of the communion of saints, and this altar rail stretches around the world. We confess that we believe all of that every time we say the Apostles' Creed and name seven things. I believe in God, I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. In a sense, all of these people become invisible onlookers, if you will, sitting in the balcony up above. And we continue the noble traditions that they have bequeathed to us. We gather here because of the people of faith, the saints of God who have gone before us. Now, Bruce Stark tells me that we broadcast this on iPod. I haven't yet found out what that is. I'm pretty sure that thousands and thousands of people will hear this, millions perhaps of people will hear it on the iPod. But I will tell you this. Tuesday morning, I'm going to fly out to Salt Lake City to see my good friend Gil Miller. I'll be back Saturday night. I believe in Gil. And more than the iPod, I believe in the communion of saints. To God be the glory. Amen.